Now, from the studios of Books in Motion in Spokane, Washington, this is Cameron Byerly reading The Last Warrior, Book 7 of the Expedition Series by author Lauren Robinson. We begin with Chapter 1. Jem Parker had left the Wind River Reservation 2 days earlier and had a strange feeling of being followed. He knew he had not made friends at the reservation, especially with Arapaho Chief Sharpnose, whose tribe shared Wind River with the Shoshone. It was Shoshone Chief Washaki and Agent Irwin who had asked Jim to leave. Parker knew the chief and Irwin were trying to protect Sacagawea. After all, she was Jim's reason for coming to the reservation. To determine if she had died on the Missouri shortly after the expedition had ended as reported, or if she lived to an old age on the Wind River Reservation. After visiting the reservation for several days, he still was not sure. But did she know the answers to his questions? Could she recognize Parker as a member of the Corps of Discovery? The woman did not question Jim's youthful look or his age, which would have to be over 100 years. In fact, it was because of the age question that Washaki and Irwin had asked Jim to leave, and Parker held no hard feelings. He could hardly believe it himself. He was not from this time period. He had been a Navy commander, an astronaut. Parker left Earth in a spaceship in 2008. It was a routine mission to a space station. Suddenly, he was engulfed in a cloud, perhaps a wormhole, and returned to Earth in 1803, with no way to get back. Then he found his way to Meriwether Lewis and William Clark. As years passed, he became friends with many tribes and tried to prepare them for the future. Jim rode out at noon in fair weather, wearing buckskins, his roll tied behind his saddle. At dusk, still feeling as if he were being followed, he rode the trail to a small stream in the forest. Tall pines crowded the banks, and he determined it was not a good place to camp. Too easy to be attacked unaware. Jim followed the creek downstream until it crossed a grassy clearing. Here, he decided to camp. While still light, he gathered wood and had a fire crackling in a few minutes, keeping an eye on the timber line. He kept the flames low to make a difficult target for an arrow or a rifle, casting no silhouette. Enough moonlight would give a moving image Jim could easily detect if he stayed awake. Knowing someone was out there, it was not hard to stay alert. About midnight, he saw the tall grass wave as if a figure were crawling. An old Indian trick. Jim whirled his rifle at the movement and fired, but he was not sure if he had hit anything. At dawn, he put more wood onto the fire, then strolled to the spot that he had aimed at. He expected to see moccasin or boot tracks, but what he saw gave him a chill. "Damn," he mumbled. "Mountain lion. And a big one." Jim was relieved but cautious. At least he knew what had been following him. He went back to the fire, made coffee, and fried a steak. Then slept for a couple of hours. About mid-morning, he rose and unhobbled his horse. "A fine watchdog you are, Scout. You didn't pick up the scent of that cat. I guess you were on the downside of the breeze." Jim packed his goods, tied his roll behind the saddle, and rode on along the trail. He figured the mountain lion would still stalk him, and the trail would soon enter the forest again. He kept his rifle across his lap, eyeing bushes and high tree limbs. The trail led to a passage between two huge boulders, and his horse reared up with a whinny. "Hold it now, Scout. So, you got a whiff of that mountain lion. Okay. But I'm going to use you for bait." Using his rope, Jim
Sample complete. Ready to continue?